All right, lots to talk about with Alderman Ray Lopez, 14th Ward. And first, I got to ask you this because I'm looking at Twitter, and it looks like it might be Bring Your Dogs to Work Day over at the 14th Ward over there, Alderman Lopez. Your dogs are hanging out. 15th. I'm sorry.
Every day is Bring Your Dog to Work Day in my universe here.
Well, they look very well rested, and they also look well fed. You're doing well for your doggies over there.
Yeah, they get their exercise. They don't miss a meal for certain. And you know, the crazy thing is that, for as big as they are the star attraction for my residents. my residents come to see them, I think, more than they come to see me now.
It softens people up a little bit. You know, you get a dog, you have to, then if they have something hard to say, it kind of makes them maybe, you know, maybe a little softer in their approach than they otherwise might be. Have you ever found that, Alderman?
Yes, especially having two 80-pound dogs. Who don't like their dad being yelled at, yes.
Hey, there's a dog story in the news, and it's not really what you came on for, but I know that you're also aware of this, too, and I was trying to make sense of it. I didn't really understand it. It's the bulldogs at O'Hare. A lot of them there. They found 15 French bulldogs. I can't understand what's happening there, but it does look like they weren't being well taken care of.
Yeah, so apparently these dogs have been there for about 3 weeks now, and they were in like quarantine from the Royal Jordan Air. And they were just kept in a cargo, not sufficient food or water. And, you know, right now we're fighting, advocates for the rescue group, Chicago French, Pit Bulldog rescue group are trying to keep those dogs from going back to their Jordanian owners and keep them here just because of the condition in which they were kept. It's really sad. And I think, you know, I've worked with, Commissioner Jamie Ree to try and come up with some stronger protocols for our animal cargo so that they are kept in humane conditions so that we don't see stories of animals being forgotten in a crate somewhere and left to die in a hangar.
Yeah, it seems it is very sad. You just think, wow, how long were they there? Do you know?
I think since August 31st, I believe is when they arrived. And this kind of broke yesterday thanks to some employees contacting local police at the airport, letting them know that there might be a problem with some of the dogs not getting the treatment that they needed.
Huh. Well, I'm glad that they called, and I know you're on top of it. You know, I want to ask you something else you've talked about recent days, and it's about how you're saying that aldermen who make, what, $118,000 a year, that if you make that kind of money, why do you need a side hustle has been your point of view, and recently there's a reason why that might have come up, because Alderman Cardenas is under fire here for taking a lot of, it seems like a lot of excessive gifts, allegedly, from a sort of a
bonuses.
Side business. Bonuses,
yeah.
A watch, stuff like that. What's going on there?
You know, I think what the Sun-Times reported was that the Inspector General was doing an investigation into the campaign finances of Alderman Cardenas. And Alderman Cardenas has filed in his ethics statement that he does have a side business, a consulting firm, which apparently he was being paid over $2,000 a month to work with an individual who was trying to get clients to local hospitals. And aside from the payment, Alderman Cardenas actually asked apparently for a $5,000 watch as a bonus. Mm-hmm. To me, this, you know, whether you call it a bonus, a gift, or whatever you want to call it, when you have aldermen in the city of Chicago who, by and large, have only one job, and that's aldermen, when you allow them to have these kind of other jobs, that always gives the appearance of impropriety. You know, who are you really working for? Are you steering business to benefit your other company or your other interests? And that's not something that we need. We've seen plenty of headlines of this in the past. It's been a routine topic of discussion. I think there are about a dozen aldermen right now who have side jobs. Most of them are lawyers or realtors or things of that nature. But I think that when you make $120,000 or whatever it is, you should be able to be solely focused on one thing, and that is your ward and doing your job as alderman so that you don't have to have conflicts, so that you don't have to have the appearance of impropriety, and that, you know, we can actually put some faith back in our system that it's not out for just the politicians trying to grease their own pockets, but actually protecting the taxpayers of the city of Chicago.
You know, to me, it seems like so when Alderman Tunney is just like kind of delivering some pancakes, some Swedish pancakes to a table at his Northside restaurant, it's a little different than folks who have a tax business or some sort of lawyer legal business that directly seems to benefit and to the tune of a lot of money from city or related business. Isn't the way that's written now in terms of the rules that there's a perceived conflict, a real perceived conflict, that you cannot hold it? Or what are the rules right now? What's the latest?
So it's so convoluted. You know, when the mayor, Lightfoot, took over, she said she's going to put an end to business as usual. And I think the only rule change now is that if there appears to be a conflict, you have to recuse yourself from being in that environment. What that means, we don't really know. I mean, there's more clarity when it comes to our chairman, and you cannot be a chairman of a committee and have a direct conflict. Otherwise, after your third conflict as chairman, you have to resign your chairmanship. But I think all of this could be resolved if we just stop having outside jobs. Mm-hmm. If you remove the conflict, period, you don't have to worry about the technicalities. You don't have to worry about the loopholes. You don't have to worry about the meaning or the spirit or the intent of a law or ordinance, because it's just cut and dry. No side job.
Yeah, I mean, it's kept political reporters busy for decades and generations here in this town. Those types of conflicts that seem to grease not only aldermen but all kinds of political players across the state of Illinois. And you know, it's like you shouldn't be going into that business. It's about public service. Ultimately, I know that seems terribly idealistic, but isn't that what it's about ultimately?
That's exactly what it's about. It's about doing your job, representing your people, and. Anyone who's ever been near an alderman or an alderman's office knows that we are the end-all, catch-all for a lot of the problems that people face on the streets, whether or not we're the direct, we have direct authority over it or not. But we are here for people, and that should be our goal. That should be our mission. And I think that we are compensated fairly well to do that job. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to think any of us are impoverished. As alderman, I remember one of my former colleagues was ripped by the media for saying she was just a poor alderman. But we have enough money. We make enough money to do our job and to solely do our job for the people, mm-hmm. so that we represent them without conflict, without controversy, and can do it without any kind of other outside distraction.
Alderman Lopez, can you stick around for a second? Because I have to pause, but I do want to ask you about a couple other things. We've got the whole budget debate that's going on and what's going to happen there and how much Chicago Police should be part of that budget and what should be chipped away at. Lots of decisions before you guys and, you know, lots more to discuss. You got a few more minutes for me?
Anything for you, Don.
Thank you, Alderman Lopez. Board Alderman Raymond Lopez is with us, and hey, you posted something else, Alderman, that I want to ask you about, because I think this is like the perfect picture that represents one of the big problems with our current health environment, and one of the contributors, I believe, that's my theory, is the people kind of having these private parties, these big bashes. And I love what you say here. You've got a picture of like these boxes and boxes of garbage, people with beer. There's lots of beer cans and vodka bottles and liquor bottles and red Solo cups everywhere, and you're like, I'm quite sure my neighborhood house parties were strictly enforcing masks and regular table sanitizing yesterday. I mean, it's a problem. How do you crack down on that?
You know, I think there's a saying that, you know, just because you're over COVID doesn't mean it's over. And I think people are at their wit's end with being confined, being quarantined from one another, and trying to enforce these ever-changing rules and restrictions. Look, we've got Halloween coming up. What are we going to do at the end of October? You know, right now you're threatening to take away Halloween from our kids. I think that we've got to start coming up with some forward-thinking proposals and policies so that we can kind of get back to normal with our lives and still be safe. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see people just doing whatever they want to do and these cases spiking like they are in Wisconsin at the moment.
Yeah, they need outlets, right? It's just human. At some point, you need to figure them out and try to do them as safely as possible. Wisconsin is interesting because they just made the city's watch list again today. This is the second time because of their case spikes. The governor there has said that there, when you look at the map, that it's really around campuses. College campuses is the biggest driver of the cases there. Now, those folks don't get the most serious cases. They're less likely to die of it, but like, they can still spread it.
But, and to your point about the tweet, you know, figuring out how to manage social interactions while being safe is the key, is going to be key for us. And we all know when you have a couple drinks in you, you start getting a little loose with following the rules. And when you have a few more drinks on top of that, you don't even remember where your mask was, let alone that you had to wear it. You know, if we have to figure out how we can instill this mindset that masks are required to keep us safe. Otherwise, we're just going to continue with this yo-yo with COVID, and our economy, our businesses, and our society will never be back on track.
You know, for a while there, I was reading headlines and hearing that the city was really cracking down on the big egregious, like there was a warehouse party one weekend with several hundred people. There was another house party there. It seemed like every weekend I was getting some kind of report about cracking down on these private parties. I haven't heard about that. I mean, I'm assuming the city's still doing it.
You know, I think we were seeing a lot of headline-grabbing events, but to be honest, these parties have not stopped. There are parties that are going on in my neighborhood almost weekly where these illegal block parties with 200, 300, 400 people on a block till 4 in the morning with party buses rolling in and everyone having a good time and no social distancing, no masks. But all of this is going on, and, you know, that doesn't make the news, and our police are struggling to maintain order to keep people safe, let alone to keep them free from COVID. And, you know, we're fooling ourselves if we think that we have this under control right now, because we don't. You know, we need to just learn from what other countries and other demographics have done following like the H1N1 and SARS and bird flu, and see how we can start living with the mask to keep ourselves safe, because otherwise we're never going to recover from this.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's absolutely right. There's a responsibility factor, and we're all in it together. That hasn't changed because we definitely are impacted by each other's behavior. Just want to ask you about this, though. You know, hey, the budget front and center right now. A lot of decisions that you're going to have to make here, and there's some pretty painful ones, it seems like, too, because I've heard the mayor say everything's on the table. There's $800 billion budget shortfall. There are all kinds of things being thrown out there. One of them was to impose a tax on financial transactions. I think it's at the CME, the so-called LaSalle Street tax. They've pushed back pretty hard and said, you know, we don't have to be here. We could move in a second. And so, you know, you doing this is not going to be the answer. And I just think about how tough this is going to be every place you try to go right now. So many people are feeling the pressure of these financial times.
Yeah, without a doubt, the fact that our 2020 budget took an $800 million hit at least, and that next year's budget, you have to come up with $1.2 billion just to maintain the status quo, assuming we don't make any cuts, tells you that we are in a $2 billion problem. Keep in mind also, we haven't heard what the police contract negotiation back pay amount is going to be yet either. You know, that could be a couple $100 million, which will even push our burden higher. And right now, with so many people out of work, with so many businesses closing, look, every day we're hearing about it, this restaurant, this hotel closing, shutting down its doors, putting hundreds of people out of work. You know, you really have to look as a city inward and say, where can we make cuts? What can we address before we start asking taxpayers to pay more? Because right now, you look at what industries we do have. You know, our number one industry for the longest was tourism and you know, hotel, restaurant, and everything surrounding tourism. That was 25% of our economy and our budget, and that's been decimated. So you can't start overburdening the others simply because that part of the budget is gone. We have to start making some hard choices and seeing, are we providing the best possible service and doing the best use of our taxpayer dollars before asking for a single dollar more from people already struggling.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that went out there, I hear you on that, and the other thing that went out there was the head tax, and some folks are saying, you know, that's not going to work either for similar reasons, that companies will not necessarily like the financial part of that, and that it, you know, it just, but you got to spread it around. Just a few seconds here, Alderman, a final thought.
No, I mean, we have to focus on growth. We can't go backwards. And I think that as we're looking at our budget, what's important is that we have to start from zero and work our way to ensure that we are filling the positions that we need to fill and asking people to pay for jobs that we really need. And we cannot go aggressive. We cannot go over the top with asking companies that can just pick up and leave overnight to pay more money, and we shouldn't punish businesses for employing people. Mm-hmm. Those are all bad and non-starters as far as I'm concerned.
Alderman, thanks for your time. I always appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks.